Today on From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve, learn to experience the joy of your Savior.
So here's my question for us to ponder. Why is the announcement of a Savior good news of a great joy? I want you to hear a familiar story and listen with fresh ears, and for God to do a fresh work in your heart, to blow a fresh wind and a fresh fire into your heart, regardless of what might be going on in your life, so that there would be joy with the announcement of the Savior.
There is tremendous truth, there is bliss, there is hope that you always dreamed of. He can heal every scar.
When the angel came to the shepherds in Luke chapter 2, the angel said, "Behold, I bring you good news of a great joy." Well, what exactly makes that news such great joy? This is From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve. Thank you for joining us today. On the broadcast, we're going to discover the three reasons why the announcement of a Savior is such good news of great joy for you and me today, and for forever. The message is entitled, The Joy of a Savior, and it's the last from Pastor Jeff's series, The Joy of Christmas. Now you can listen to any that we've aired so far when you go to fromhisheart.org. Click the radio tab. If it's possible now, turn in your Bible to the Christmas story found in Luke chapter 2, as Pastor Jeff begins a deep dive into how to feel and know the joy of a Savior.
This happens so often at Christmas time. People can get discouraged because they know that this is a month of joy and they don't have it. They are stressed with all the preparations, with all the things that they need to get done for the month, and they're struggling to find joy, and they feel guilt because they don't have joy, and maybe that describes you. Maybe you're all stressed out with all the obligations and you think about what you have to do as we get closer and closer to Christmas Day and all the traveling you're going to have to do and have Christmas over here and Christmas over there and Christmas somewhere else. And some people, you know, they have three or four or five places to go with family spread about. And it can be overwhelming. And they can just think, man, I just want this to be over. Some of you may have lost loved ones. And so Christmas time is a really hard time because Christmas is all about being together with family and you're missing a family member and you're just saying, I just want this to be over. I just don't know if I can go through this. Listen, I want you to hear a familiar story and listen with fresh ears. And for God to do a fresh work in your heart, to blow a fresh wind and a fresh fire into your heart, regardless of what might be going on in your life, so that there would be joy with the announcement of the Savior. Luke chapter 2, verse 8. And in the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them. And the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. And the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy, which shall be for all the people. For today, in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." Jesus was born in Bethlehem, That was foretold by Micah the prophet, that the Messiah was going to be born in Bethlehem. That's when the wise men came in Matthew chapter 2 to Jerusalem, and they said to King Herod, "Where is he who's been born king of the Jews? We saw his star in the east, and we've come to worship him." And so they got the religious leaders together and said, Herod said, "Hey, where is he supposed to be born?" They said, "Bethlehem of Judea," and Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Very fitting. Bethlehem is a name of a city that means house of bread. Jesus is the bread of life. The bread of life was born in the house of bread. And there was no room, as we know in the story, there was no room for Mary and Joseph at the inn. And so Jesus was born in a place where they kept the animals, born in a stable, and laid in a manger. A manger is a feeding trough. And that's the story of his birth. But then it goes on to say there were these shepherds. Shepherds, the lowest class of people, and they were keeping watch in that same region over their flocks by night, and suddenly, whoa, there's an angel standing before them. Now, this is what is so critical about that. For 400 plus years, God had not spoken to the people. There had been no word from God. Malachi closes the Old Testament in the 400s BC. There's nothing. There are no miracles. There are no appearances of any angels or anything like that. And then all of a sudden, when we begin in the story of the Gospels, we have an appearance of Gabriel, the angel, to Zacharias, who was John the Baptist's father. He appears to Zacharias. Then Gabriel appears to Mary. Then an angel appears to Joseph in a dream saying, "Hey, that which is in Mary is of the Holy Spirit." And now you have another appearance of an angel that appears to the shepherds, scares them to death. They are terribly frightened. King James says, sore afraid, greatly afraid. Megas is the Greek word for greatly. They're greatly afraid. And the angel says to him, "Listen, don't be greatly afraid. I want you to have megas joy." The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy, which shall be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." And that's the sign that they were going to see, is he's going to be wrapped in cloths, which is normal. That's what they did to newborn babies. They wrapped them in strips of cloth. But this baby is going to be lying in a manger. And that was the sign. And then all of a sudden, next to this one angel comes a multitude of angels. We don't know how many a multitude of angels comprises, but hundreds, maybe thousands of angels. I mean, these shepherds are just, their minds are blowing in the face of this miracle of these angels that they're seeing, this announcement from the angel and the multitude of angels praising God. And the announcement is the joy of a Savior. Good news of a great joy. So here's my question for us to ponder. Why is the announcement of a Savior good news of a great joy? Let's think that through. Why did the angel say that? "I bring you good news of a great joy." Three reasons why. Reason number one, it's because everyone needs a Savior. The announcement of a Savior is good news because everyone needs a Savior. Now, whatever's going on in your life, I can tell you this. The greatest need that you have is not for a better job. It's not for a big Christmas bonus. It's not to win some sweepstakes. It's not to somehow win the lottery. It's not to find a spouse. It's not to get a better marriage. It's not for your strange son or daughter to come home. Those are needs. That's not your greatest need. Your greatest need is for a Savior. That's your greatest need. You need a Savior. That is true for every single one. Everyone needs a Savior. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." We all have done that. Every single one of us, from the best of us on down to the worst of us, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We all have missed the mark. And the Lord uses the word lost. Lost. He came to Luke 19:10. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He told the story about the prodigal son. And when the son comes back, he said, "We have to have a party because this son of mine was dead and has been made alive again. He was lost and has been found." We use that word lost to talk about people who don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. They're lost. Now, the interesting thing about the word lost that's used over and over in the New Testament, it's also translated, apolumi is the Greek word, it's also translated perishing and destroyed. Actually, destroyed, destroying is used for that Greek word 26 times. Apolumi is translated destroyed or destroyed, destroy or destroyed. Perishing or perish 26 times, lost 14 times. But it means the same. If you're lost, that means you are perishing. You are on the road to destruction. You're on the broad road that leads to destruction, that leads to everlasting hell. John 3:16, the verse that so many of us are familiar with. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not apolumi, should not perish, should not be lost forever, but should come into the knowledge of Jesus and eternal life. Everyone needs a savior because everyone is born lost. Now, I want you to notice some things about being lost. First of all, you are helplessly lost. Everyone needs a savior because everyone is helplessly lost. What does that mean? That means there's nothing you can do to fix your situation. You're on the broad road that leads to destruction, the perishing road, the lost road. That's where you are. That's where everybody is. And there's nothing you can do to fix that. There's no off-ramp that you can create. You're on the broad road that leads to destruction. You're on the highway to hell, to quote AC/DC. Now, they were glad about it. Hopefully, you're not glad about being on the highway to hell. The Lord sure isn't glad about anyone being on the highway to hell. But there's nothing you can do to fix that. It says in Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 22, the Lord says, although you wash yourself with lye and use much soap, the stain of your iniquity is before me, declares the Lord. Lye is used in soap. Lye is used in Drano. Lye is used in oven cleaner. It's a caustic. It's high pH, and it is a cleanser. And the Lord says, even if you use lye, you can't get the stain of your sin out. Your heart is stained with sin, and there's nothing you can do. We sing that song, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Everyone is helplessly lost. And everyone, because you're helplessly lost, you're hopelessly lost. There's nothing that can be done for you. In and of yourself, you will be lost forever. That's why it's good news that a Savior has come. Everyone needs a Savior. When the rich young ruler came to Jesus and he said, Master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, well, you know the commandments. He said, oh yeah, I've kept all of those from my youth up. He said, well, one thing you lack, he's a rich guy. He said, sell all you have, give it to the poor, and come and follow me, and you'll find treasure in heaven. And the guy said, well, I don't want to do that. Forget it. He went away sad. He was one who owned much property. And he said, no, I'm not going to do that. He said he had kept all the commandments, but he forgot the number one commandment. You shall have no other gods before me. And his god was gold. His creed was greed. He was all into money and things. And when the Lord said, you have to part from those things in order to have eternal life. Well, that man went away sad. And Jesus said to his disciples in Matthew chapter 19, how hard it is for a rich man to inherit the kingdom of God. And when the disciples heard this, they were very astonished because they had been told their whole lives by the scribes and the religious leaders that riches were a sign of God's blessing. And so when you see a rich man, it's that God has favored that person, God is pleased with that person, and that's why they have so much. And Jesus said, how hard it is for a rich man to inherit the kingdom of heaven. And they said, they marveled, and they said, well, then who can be saved? And looking upon them, Jesus said to them, with men, this is impossible, but not with God. But with men, it's impossible. Why? Because you're lost, and you're helplessly lost, and you're hopelessly lost, and there's nothing you can do. There's no amount of money that you can give. There is no kind of church service you can attend. There's nothing. There's not any prayer you can pray that's going to change that. Michael Bloomberg, billionaire Michael Bloomberg, former mayor of New York City. Recently, he was quoted as saying this, "I'm telling you, if there is a God, when I get to heaven, I'm not stopping to be interviewed. I am heading straight in. I have earned my place in heaven. It's not even close." It's shocking to read that. A guy like that is woefully ignorant of two things. Number one, he does not know how holy God is. And number two, he does not know how sinful he is. "For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not as a result of works, lest anyone should boast." Hey, everyone needs a Savior. Why is it good news of a great joy that a Savior has been born? Because everyone needs a Savior, because everyone is helplessly lost and hopelessly lost. Reason number two, why is the announcement good news of a great joy? Because the Savior has come for everyone. Everyone has a need. We all have the same need. We need a Savior because we're sinners. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, eternal death, forever death. And the Savior has come for everyone. Now look at it again. The announcement comes to the shepherds. They're an unlikely group for God to send the message to that group of people. But he does. "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of a great joy, which shall be for all the people." All the people, men and women, boys and girls, Jews, Gentiles, the rich, the poor, the down and out, the up and out, everyone in between, "for all the people, for today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." He's come for everyone. Man, that's good news. Because if he's come for everyone, he's come for me. He's come for me. When it says good news of a great joy, good news comes from the noun euangelion, which is translated gospel. He's sharing the gospel with them, and the good news, gospel is good news, that the Savior has come for everyone. He's come, we're on the highway to hell because we're all lost, and he's come, and what has he come to do? He's come to build an off-ramp that will turn you around and send you on the narrow road that leads to life. So you don't have to die and go to hell. Now, he says that the Savior who has come is Christ the Lord. This Savior is Messiah who is the Lord, Christ the Lord. Christ is Messiah. That's what that word means, anointed one. Now, the Jews were waiting for the Messiah to come. They had been told of the Messiah for centuries and centuries and centuries. The promise of the Messiah comes in the same chapter that Adam and Eve fall, Genesis 3:15. The Lord gives the promise of the Messiah. The seed of the woman is going to crush the serpent's head. The seed of the woman is the Lord Jesus Christ. It talks about the virgin birth because the woman doesn't have the seed. The woman has an egg, but Jesus is going to be born of a virgin, and his father is not a man. His father is not Joseph. His father is God, and it's a miracle birth. The Immaculate Conception. And this one is Christ the Lord. Now, sometimes we get confused. We think we talk about Jesus Christ, and we almost think that's his name, Jesus Christ. That's not his name. That's his title. He's Jesus the Christ, Jesus the Messiah, Jesus the Anointed One. Not his name, Jesus of Nazareth was his name. That's what they called him. But he's Jesus the Christ. When in Matthew chapter 16, when the Lord said to the disciples, "Who do the people say I am?" And they threw out some things. Well, John the Baptist, or you know, this person, that person, Jeremiah, one of the prophets. "Who do you say that I am?" Peter stood up, spoke for the 12, and he said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You're the Messiah. You're the anointed one. And you're the Son of the living God." See, that the Jews thought that Messiah was going to be a man and just a man. He's going to be the Son of David. They didn't understand that Messiah was also going to be God in the flesh. See, Jesus is both God and man. He's the Son of Mary, yes. And he is human, yes. But he's also the Son of God. He's very man of very man and very God of very God. He's 100% man and 100% God. He's the only begotten God, the only begotten Son of God. There will never be another like Jesus. And Jesus had to be man and God. He had to be the God-man in order to save. See, a man can't deliver. A man can't save. A man can't offer himself in your stead. A man can only die for himself. Because we're all sinners. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So how are you going to offer a sacrifice? If you're a man, offer yourself as a sacrifice. Well, you have sinned. So you're not a perfect sacrifice. You're not a perfect lamb. But the Lamb of God can come, who is man and God, and he can do that because he is perfect. You know, Job, when he was having all his trouble, he wanted to have an audience with God. He wanted to talk this out with God. And Job said these words. He said, "For he is not a man as I am, that I may answer him, that we may go to court together. And there is no umpire between us who may lay his hand upon us both." You know what Job was saying without even understanding it? He was saying, we need a God man. We need a God man. Someone who can understand God because he's God. Someone who can understand man because he's man. And that one can lay his hand upon us both. That is who Jesus is. There is one God and one mediator also between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. The one who can lay his hand upon us both. The Savior has come, who is Christ the Lord. The word for Lord in Greek is kurios. Kurios. You know what's interesting about the word kurios? In the Greek Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Hebrew Old Testament, when it comes to the word Yahweh, the four letters in the Old Testament, YHWH, we translate that Yahweh or Jehovah. When the Septuagint translates YHWH, it always translates it kurios. Kurios, Lord, Sovereign, Master, King. That is who Jesus is.
And you're listening to From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve today, and we're halfway through the message, The Joy of a Savior. Speaking of joy, God has done incredible things through From His Heart this year, touching so many lives with the truth of God that few pastors will speak on public airwaves, and we're reaching around the world. Miriam wrote to us from Australia to say, "I am so thankful for your truthful, straightforward, and loving messages I hear each day. They really do get to me. I know it is God speaking His heart to us through you. I pray God continues to bless your ministry in these dark days in which we live. Thank you, Pastor Jeff." These kinds of comments come in all the time, and it only means that people are being truly impacted by the teaching that is heard here each day. If you'd like to invest in kingdom work that is making a difference, this month would be a great time to do it, as we have a challenging $350,000 year-end goal that we're praying for this month. Yes, that's a large amount, but we want you to know a few things. First, Pastor Jeff receives no income from this ministry. He pastors a thriving church in Texarkana, Texas. Two, From His Heart is heard daily on over 850 radio stations in the U.S. and always online, and also on TV, where we're broadcasting into 182 countries. And number three, we run this ministry lean and mean to take full advantage of the funds that God supplies. So thank you for helping us reach millions each day. And if you can help us this month with a year-end gift of $25 or more, we'll say thank you by sending you a brand new year-long daily devotional book for next year that Pastor Jeff helped to write. It's called The Spirit of God Within You. It's a beautiful book, and you'll love it. It'll be a blessing every day. To make your gift, call 866-40-BIBLE, 866-40-BIBLE, or go online to fromhisheart.org. Thanks for joining us today on From His Heart. I'm Larry Nobles, inviting you to watch the From His Heart television broadcast, seen nationwide and around the world this weekend. You can check your local time and channel when you go to fromhisheart.org. And join us on Monday right back here for part two of The Joy of a Savior. That's next time, when we'll again open God's Word to share real truth, real love, and real hope from His heart. There is hope that you always dream of. He can heal. From His Heart is the broadcast ministry of Dr. Jeff Shreve, speaking the truth in love to a lost and a hurting world. Remember, no matter what, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Find out more. Go to fromhisheart.org.